Well, here I am. A sinner preaching to sinners. How's that supposed to work? Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit today. I'm sure you've all gotten wind of what my sermon is about this morning. It's kind of like the Holy Spirit is talking about himself through me. It makes you appreciate when you do this, the hard work that our pastor puts in every week. I only do this occasionally, but he does it every week. And I think he'd be the first to agree that we truly need the Holy Spirit in this because it's so important. So, with that said, the Holy Spirit, who is he? Why is he important to Christians? And what a great gift he is to us. So we're going to start out with Bible verses taken, and somebody said to me, you have a lot of Bible verses there, which I do, and of course, which we know. We take these verses, they are God's word to us. So I'm going to be working from John, 1 Corinthians, Romans, Galatians, and again, 1 Corinthians. So let's begin by reading John 14, 15 through 26. All right, now. This little fine print or that up there, which is easier? Okay. John 14, 15 through 26 says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The love who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home in them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. All right. So, to begin with, as we read in John 15, 26, the Holy Spirit is a person. And I know Mary and I have discussed this, and I've heard references to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, or it. People refer to the Holy Spirit as an it. Well, take it from me, reading the Scripture, the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. When Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit, he does so by the use of the masculine personal pronoun, he. Jesus said the Spirit would guide believers to all truth. Let's read John 16, 13, and 15. John 16, 13 through 15. But when he, the Spirit of the truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit would receive from me what he will make known to you. All right. These are definitely the functions of a person. He is eternal, absolute holiness, absolute purity, and absolutely righteous. Okay. To touch on this a little further brings us to a term that I'm sure you've all heard many times, hopefully, and I'm sure you all totally and completely understand it, and that is the Trinity. All right. So, how does the Holy Spirit fit into the Trinity? The Holy Spirit is the third member of the triune Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He is inseparable from the Father and the Son. They are one nature and one character. Three persons, all of one Spirit. God's Spirit, Jesus' Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who indwells in us today, all are one and the same. Two key things there, awesome things. Take note, indwells in us today, and as the Bible teaches us, you are never alone. When you receive the Holy Spirit, from that day on, you are never alone. You can go hide in the closet if you want, but you're never going to be alone. Okay, I just think this is so awesome. As part of our creation, God breathed himself into us. We have the ability to know God. How could an awesome God that we have breathe himself into us? Okay. Let's get into a little more on the Spirit's role in the Trinity and what that role is, the Spirit, to fill, to energize, to empower to act, to cause to act, and to compel behavior to produce character. Now, what kind of a character are we talking about here? We refer sometimes to our children as what a character. That's not what we're talking about, is it? No. We're talking about something that we as all Christians are constantly, with the help of the Holy Spirit and the Word, seeking to attain, and that's the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible commands us to know our Savior and to pattern our lives after him and develop his character. Do you think we need help with that? I would say so. There is no awareness of sin and no coming to saving knowledge of Jesus as our Savior apart from him. So until the influence of the Holy Spirit, we never knew we were sinners. The Holy Spirit that brought that out. All right. Jesus did nothing apart from the Holy Spirit's empowerment. The Holy Spirit seals us to Jesus. So again, we have God's Spirit, Jesus' Spirit, the Holy Spirit. When we have the Holy Spirit, we have the Spirit of Jesus in us. That's that Spirit that ties us forever to Jesus. You belong to him forever, not by anything you can do. Another important thing. Nothing. Nothing we can do. This is all through God, his love, and through his great Holy Spirit that we're here today and that we are able to seek out a life patterned after character of our beloved Savior. Okay, I have been asked several times, can you be a Christian and not have the Holy Spirit? Is that possible? No. You receive the Holy Spirit when you receive Christ as your Savior. You can't receive just one part of the Trinity. It's all or nothing, so to speak. And I do understand a young Christian that the Holy Spirit brings to his attention that he's a sinner in need of a Savior, and he accepts Christ as his Savior. Sometimes it's hard to visualize and realize that you do have at that instant, that moment, in true confession, that you do have the Holy Spirit. We do learn over a period of time to become more and more familiar with the voice of the Holy Spirit in us, but you cannot receive Christ as your Savior in true confession without the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Let's talk a little bit more about the importance of the Holy Spirit. To me, a really important thing. Purity of the heart cannot be separated from the Holy Spirit. This is very important. Let's read from 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17. Like Pastor says, I like to hear the pages rustle. I'm a little lazy this morning. It's just I read them, believe, take it from me. But don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit indwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. All right. You believe that? Paul taught them that their bodies were sacred places. They were indwelled by God's Holy Spirit. They were, in essence, a temple. Now, today, so often, we hear this referred to as our bodies are temples. We need to take care of them, which is true, we do. But it's more referenced on you shouldn't drink, you shouldn't smoke, you shouldn't overeat, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. You need to take care of your body, and that is important. What this is emphasizing, though, is our hearts. That's where the Holy Spirit indwells. That's His temple. That's why it is so important that we, with the help of the Holy Spirit, purify our hearts. Is it an easy task? Again, no. But we have the Holy Spirit to be with us in that. In 1 Thessalonians, Jesus told the disciples that the Spirit was in them, not walking alongside them. You've heard references to that too. It's the Holy Ghost or this Holy Spirit floats around. And no. Once you receive the Holy Spirit, He's in you, He's with you, and that's it. Nothing mystical about it. Again, you're never alone. We always have the Holy Spirit with us, no matter what we're going through, no matter what's happening, He's always there. Are you getting a little warm? Yeah, John's going to turn the fans on. Okay, now, this is important. What's our part in this? How do we have a pure heart? Okay. First of all, as the Holy Spirit in us tells us, we need to confess and repent of all our sin. Now, we purify our hearts and it brings us peace. Now go back to that word all. I'm sure there's probably some in here like me that I meet someone, I shake their hand, I visit with them, we go our way, and 15 minutes later I forget their name. How am I ever going to remember all my sins? Now, some of you might not have many sins, but I do. And how am I going to ever remember all of them? All right. Let's go back a little bit to the Holy Spirit will not allow anything to coexist with Him in His temple that is not holy, pure, and righteous. Remember, God hates sin. It's His Spirit, it's God's Spirit that's indwelling in our hearts. That's why I can't emphasize enough of listening to the Spirit and confessing our sins and repenting of our sin. He convicts us of our sins. He knows them all. We must come before God with a pure heart. We cannot harbor both Christ and sin. In other words, simple terms. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal ourselves to ourselves. Basically, what He's saying. And the Holy Spirit will do that. All right. Why else do we need the Holy Spirit? Well, there's nine things, and there's more than that. But I want to talk about today. And this first one really hit me. And I hope it brings to light something that we don't think about enough. Number one, the Holy Spirit is the power of God. So we not only have the Holy Spirit in us, we have the power of God in us. Now, don't take that I'm standing up here saying I'm as powerful as God. But we do have God's power through the Holy Spirit to lean on. I just think that's really awesome. Through the Spirit, we have the power of God to do what? Why is that power so important? Basically, in simple terms, to live this life according to the will of God, and that's no simple task, is it? What an awesome God we have. Number two, the Holy Spirit enables us to live a Christian life. He convicts us of our sin until we confess and repent. He will not allow it to stand because it is a stain on our purity. He gives us a desire not to give in to temptation and sin. It's a lot in one statement, isn't it? But he convicts us of our sin until we confess and repent. So, if the Holy Spirit's convicting us, it must be awful important. Okay. Number three, the Holy Spirit gives us strength when we are weak and to be obedient to God. Matthew 24:13 tells us the Holy Spirit enables us to endure to the end in faith. He is our great comforter. Remember Paul's words at the end before he was put to death? I've run the race, I've kept the faith. And that is so important for us in our Christian life. And through the Holy Spirit and the promises of God, he allows us to keep the faith to the end. And we need to take comfort in that. I give Brother Ben something to think about here, but I did some research on the promises of God, and came up with there's more than 2,100 promises of God in the scriptures, and you cannot find any kind of an incident at all ever where not one of those promises were kept. Never. And so we can really, really take comfort in that, can't we? God, the promises that he makes to us, he will keep. The Holy Spirit has all knowledge. He gives us his wisdom through the Word of God. He helps us in the study of the Word and imparting it to our life. He has all knowledge of the Scripture. Listen to this. He has all knowledge of the Scripture, how he wrote it. He wrote it. He imparts his great heart so that we might love others. Now, in today's society, again, is that easy to love others as we should love them? Boy, no. It is not. But again, the importance of the Holy Spirit. He helps us with those things. He helps us in the study of his word and imparting it to our lives. I got to go off on just a little bit of a rabbit trail here, like my brother Ben likes to say. When I read that, I got to thinking about the times through my life when God gifted me with the ability to fix things, build things, look at things, and analyze them and figure out what was wrong with them. Well, there were instances in our life when we would decide, for example, that we needed a desk or a bookshelf or something on that order. And of course, what do? We would go off to our illustrious Walmart store where you buy the finest furniture in the world. The only thing about that is, of course, is it comes in a box. So you bring it home, and I would put it out on the floor, open the box, pull everything out. And along with that comes this white sheet that says directions or instructions. Well, I don't need that. I'd throw that in the corner. I can't understand it anyway. So I would get to work. And all of a sudden, I was stuck. Smart as I was stuck. And I'd have to humble myself and go over to that corner and get that little white sheet and read it and figure out what was wrong. Now that's what he's talking about here in our lives, I believe. We have his inspired word. And we never want to assume that we got it all figured out, so we don't need to refer to the Bible or refer to God in prayer about our situation. Because more often than not, we get ourselves into trouble with that. So again, what an awesome God. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Okay, enough stories. Number five, he imparts us to a knowledge of his will so we may be obedient and avoid sin. I like connection there. We often don't put that. His will to avoid sin. How that fits together, right? When we do things according to God's will, amen. The Holy Spirit indwells within us to help us in our prayer life. We can count on him to make our prayers effective, which is very important. We need to ask him to help us to pray according to his will. Two things there. We understand this morning we've had prayers. We pray. And I want to thank each and every one of you for the prayers that you gave for me today. But we understand how important our prayer life is. But there's two things we really need to keep in mind when we pray. First of all, and this relates anytime we come to God. It goes back to what I was saying. We need to have a pure heart when we approach God. Think about who we are talking to and who we are approaching. Man. We need to have our hearts right when we come to church and when we worship, when we take communion, when we go to our scriptures, ask the Holy Spirit, help us in confessing our sins, because we're standing before the Almighty God, and we never, ever need to shortchange that. Man, we have a great and awesome God. Okay. He gives us the ability to judge right from wrong. The Holy Spirit understands fully everything we think, feel, and experience. Let's read Romans 8, 26 and 27. All right. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So, I might be a little off here. Somebody, I'm sure, will let me know when I'm done, but what I really got the most out of that was the relationship between God and the Holy Spirit is so close, the Spirit's prayer not be audible. God knows his every thought. So, with that close relationship between the Spirit of God and God, with the Holy Spirit in us and our relationship to the Holy Spirit, those times when we can't find it in ourselves to say the right words, we're so overwhelmed with emotions, we don't have to say a word. The Holy Spirit knows what's in our hearts and our mind, and the whole God knows what's in the minds of the Holy Spirit, so to speak. So that's kind of what I think he's telling us here, is that even though there's times when you can't really say the words you want to say, you just get down on your hands and knees, you fold your hands, bow your head, and just allow the Holy Spirit to do it for you. Okay, number seven. The Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit produces fruit of the Spirit. All right, I'm sure most everybody here knows all about the fruit of the Spirit, but I can't say it any better than Galatians 5, 22 and 26. Okay. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desire. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Okay. Do you think we need help with that? Oh, man. Again, praise God. He gave us the Spirit. He gave us His Word. All right. You've all heard the term grieving the Holy Spirit. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? Sure, most of you probably know. In Ephesians 4:30, Paul says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit." I'm sure all you that have had children, raised children, there's been moments in your life when your child has wanted to do something or came to you to ask you to do something, and you've sat them down and said, "No, that's not possible. You can't do that. This is how I would like you to do this. This is how God would like to have you do this." Okay? So you go on your merry way, and pretty quick you find out they went and did it their own way anyway. Now that can work two ways. You can either get mad, which probably happens, or you can, and I think if you admit it, it does grieve you when you take the time to explain to your child, and especially if it's for their own good, and they just decide to do it their own way anyway. When we as believers disobey God's commandments and choose to act in unrighteous ways, the Spirit grieves because He loves us. But also, I think what this is emphasizing is we don't have an excuse, you know. We have the Holy Spirit. We have God's Word, and we have the Holy Spirit with us. And when we get tempted and we just know better, but go ahead and do it anyway, that's really, really grieves the Holy Spirit, grieves Jesus, grieves God, right? So that's the main emphasis, is when they talk about grieving the Holy Spirit. Okay, now we get to a good one here. Number 9, spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit is a giver of many gifts to help us in our ministry. He adds His unique divine gifts to our natural talents and abilities at His discretion. But He gives gifts to every believer, as it says in 1 Corinthians 12:7. Now, I've heard again, quite a few times, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe that He died for my sins, and I believe that He saved me, and I believe that I'm going to go to heaven through that belief, but I don't think that I have a spiritual gift. I just don't. That's not the case here, is it? We all have spiritual gift. And the beautiful part about it is, I like what he says here, is he adds his unique divine gifts to our natural talents and abilities at his discretion. So a lot of us, our gift is probably very top heavy with the Holy Spirit. But we do have gifts. And it's up to us as his children and his people to find out what those gifts are. And it's not like we don't have any help with that. I look around here today and I can name you quite a number of spiritual gifts here. And people know what their spiritual gift is, and they use their spiritual gifts. And some of us probably only have one, and some have many. But there's no one in this room today that's a believer that doesn't have at least one spiritual gift. You might not know it or understand what it is, but I and God does. And I've seen people that they think it's just ordinary thing, but it is a gift. Okay. Now, the Holy Spirit gives gifts to the church as whole. What are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to the church as a whole? Coming back to what I said, actually, these gifts are His people. Whenever the Holy Spirit awakens in you that you are a sinner and you need a Savior, and you come to the Lord and you become His child through confession of your sin and through the acceptance of His Savior, His Son, Lord Jesus Christ, you become God's church. Each one of us are a church because we belong to the church of Jesus Christ. We belong to Desert Sky, but we belong to the great church of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so each person, every time I have a new members class, it enlightens my heart so much because we are taking in another gift to this church. And we couldn't be the church we are without each and every one of you. So we are the gifts to God's church. Okay, you want an example of that? Let's go back to the first statement I made when I said, here's a sinner standing up here preaching to sinners. Look at me, a sinner preaching to sinners. The only way that I can be doing this is because of the Holy Spirit. It's an honor and a privilege to be selected by the Holy Spirit to do this, but there's no way that I could do this without God's love and God's Holy Spirit and the support of you guys. Okay. The scripture describe at least three wonderful results of God's spiritual guidance in our life. First of all, number one, very important again, He will convict of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. John 16:8 talks about this. And if you read, you want to take time later and read John 16:8, the core of what He's telling us is the Holy Spirit teaches us what God's view of sin, of righteousness, and what judgment is. And He teaches us the view of the world. And it's quite easy for us to see and understand as Christians that the Holy Spirit has the right view on what sin is, what righteousness is, and what judgment is versus what the world teaches. So, He will help us walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You read about this in Ephesians 5:15-16. We've heard Pastor say, redeeming the time. And every one of us can think through our lives of the time and the days that we spent not doing things according to God's will. So, when we become true, born-again Christians with the Holy Spirit's help, it's imperative that we use the tools, I hate to say that word, but the great gifts is a better word, that God gave us to fulfill our mission here on earth, which is what? Make believers, go and spread the word. It says here, because the days are evil, and we're seeing more and more of that, I believe, all the time. We don't know when the end's coming. We have no idea. And I hear all the time, people are saying, the way this world is going, God's got to be close to coming. Well, maybe so, maybe not, we don't know. But we need to get our job done. We need to get our work done. He needs to find us busy when He does come. And He will come. All right. Now, He searches our hearts. We read that in Romans 8:27. The Holy Spirit shows us who we are and how we can become more like Jesus. How is the Spirit's guidance imparted to us? All right. He speaks to us through the words of the Bible. Plain and simple, isn't it? Read the Bible. He'll help you. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the power of God. We need to read the Bible. He gives us the principles of the Word of God to guide us in making decisions. Help us. He helps us to understand Him. In other words, we need to understand God's will and put our trust and faith in His will. How are we going to understand God's will if we don't read the Scripture, we don't come to church, we don't attend Bible studies? So important to get things right. We understand the will of God. Everything we do. Remember what we said? Pray according to God's will. Okay, number two, he gives us the principles of the word to guide us in making decisions and helps us to understand. Oh, sorry. Helps us to understand him. The spirit-filled life should be marked by awe. And I would say, can't emphasize that enough. As I studied this, like Pastor says, I could go on for hours, but I didn't want to get booed out of the place. So, the spirit-filled life should be marked by awe, that we should be privileged to be indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit that makes the words of Scripture and brings them to life in a believer's heart. Let's read 1 Corinthians 2, 11 through 15. All right. For who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the Spirit from the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that came from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. All right. So, that's another touchy subject, and another touchy word is judging. But, as we come to understand God's will, there are things that we do in this life need to sometimes make a judgment on. And it's very important that we make those judgments according to God's will. So there's those that say we should never judge. Well, that's not exactly true. But it's so imperative and important is how we do it. So we got to be careful with it because it's easy to get out of hand. So, okay. The Holy Spirit does not desire that God's will for our lives be a mystery. He has come to reveal the truth to us. He has come in his all-knowing ability to impart to us what we need to know in order to live obedient and faithful lives. Trust him to guide you now and always. I want to talk a little bit more about the church again. That sounded like I was done, didn't it? Not quite. Acts 1 tells us that the church of Jesus Christ began the day the Holy Spirit came down and indwelled in those who believed in him. We are to be witnesses to the world by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit's work is the only reason we can obey God's command to make disciples. We need to call on him and the power of God. And understand that we are never alone. We have the Holy Spirit to call on. We have the Spirit with us. But we also have the power of God. So when things get rough, things get tough, you know where to go. He's there. He knows what you're experiencing. He knows exactly what you're going through. The Spirit of Jesus and the Holy Spirit tells us that we are never alone. So how we act, remember this also, how we act is always in his presence. Even though we can't see him, he always sees us. Jesus came to deliver us from sin. Each person must discover this glorious truth through the Spirit and in response to the Holy Spirit working in his heart. Turn to God in sincere confession and repentance of our sins. Can't express this enough. To live the Christian life is to allow Jesus to live his life in and through us. The Holy Spirit, remember the Holy Spirit, the power of God, is with us always. Remember to call upon him, and remember we are never alone. All right. Let's pray.